This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then Herod sent the Magi to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When the Magi saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered the child gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. At our jazz service last night, we talked about the danger that the Magi and Mary and Joseph find themselves in when Jesus is born. You see, people like Herod are not so thrilled about the birth of this newborn king. People like Herod inflict injustice on those who are vulnerable. They take advantage of those who do not have as much power as they do, and they neglect those who live on the margins. People like Herod just flourish in the midst of injustice and oppression, because all of their gain is at the expense of others and creation. So the birth of the Messiah, the one who brings the reign of God to earth, the birth of the Messiah, it is a terrifying thing for people like Herod. It means the end of their abuse of power. It is as Mary says, God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. People like Herod are terrified of the birth of the Messiah. And when people like Herod are terrified, they often react violently. When Herod finds out that his plans to murder the Christ child are thwarted, he slaughters every child in and around Bethlehem who is 2 years old and under. He slaughters them. In protecting Jesus, the Magi, and Mary and Joseph are in grave danger. Yet, in the midst of this danger, the Magi and Mary and Joseph, they never lose hope. They choose to respond to the danger by listening to God, by knowing the purpose God has given them, by taking action, and by supporting one another. In this way, they are able to respond to the danger and not lose hope. At the core of their faithful and hopeful response to danger is the guidance that they receive from God. The Magi and Joseph and Mary, they listen to God through dreams. Dreams in which God comes and tells them exactly what they are supposed to do. They are also deeply rooted in their traditions. Now, we don't know the specific traditions of the Magi, but we do know that Mary and Joseph were Jewish, and they were deeply rooted in Jewish tradition and scripture. They knew what the reign of God, what the coming of the Messiah, what it meant, not just for their own people, but for all of creation. And out of that knowledge of God, they knew that they had an important part to play in bringing God's kingdom to earth. Because of their faith in God, their prayers of listening to God, and their knowledge of Scripture, Mary and Joseph knew their purpose and just how important that purpose was. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I am not so lucky as to have God appear in a dream or to have an angel appear and tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do, exactly what my purpose is. Now, we might not have God appearing in our dreams, but God is with us in other ways. Like Mary and Joseph, we have the gift of Scripture, which tells us what God's reign means for the world. Our psalm today was written for that purpose. We believe that this was a psalm that would have been read at the coronation of a new king. And as this new leader of the people, of God's people, stepped into their role, into their purpose, they were reminded that their purpose is to lead the people in alignment with God's reign. And the psalm was read to tell them just what the reign of God looked like. And it tells us what God's reign looks like too. This reign of God is one of the things that we celebrate at Christmas. It's what Jesus brings into the world. And today, as we celebrate Epiphany, we look for the guidance of God, just as God guided the Magi to Jesus through the star that God placed in the sky. So, as we step into this new year, and we might wonder, what our purpose is this year? What are our goals? What should we as people of faith seek to do and to believe and to say in this new year? If we wonder what our calling is, especially in light of the fact that this year began with an act of terror in our very own city. As we step into this new year, I invite us to turn to the psalm as a way of listening to God, and hearing our purpose as God's people. Around your seats, you will find copies of the psalm and writing utensils. If there is not a copy of the psalm in your seat exactly, there will be extras around you. I didn't know where you all would sit today, so they're all around, okay? Now is the time to get that copy of the psalm and a writing utensil. Every seat should also have a star. Norman, I put yours on the organ on the other side. On the other side of the organ. Yes, and I see some of you are being brilliant and pulling out hymnals from your seats to have a hard surface to write on. Good idea. On this psalm, I highlighted in bold font different aspects of the reign of God that I noticed in the psalm, but I know that after I printed this, I noticed a couple more that I missed. So, as I read this psalm aloud to all of you, this is one time where I invite you not to read the bold words, all right? I'm going to read the whole thing. You all just listen this time. But as I read, I invite you to make note on your piece of paper the different parts of this reign of God, the different aspects, the different values of God's reign that really seem to speak to you. What are the ones that when you hear them or you see them, you're just drawn to them in some way? That's how God is speaking to you. This is an opportunity to listen for God's guidance. So again, as I read, I invite you to make note on your sheet of paper. That's why you have writing utensils. Just, this is your sheet now. You can write on it. Make note of the different aspects or values of God's reign that speak especially to you. Okay. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice, that the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness. Let the king defend the needy among the people. Rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth. In his time, may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles pay tribute, and the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. May all kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service. For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress, the oppressed, and those who have no helper. He has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their lives. And precious is their blood in his sight. Now, take a moment to look at these aspects of God's reign that spoke particularly to you and identify one of them. One of those things that is going to be your focus in this year. One aspect or value of God's reign that God is calling you to. Choose the one that you feel most called to, the one that you feel is most important at this time, in this place, that you feel God is asking you to take part in, to take action on. And once you have identified that one thing, I invite you to take your star and write that part of God's reign on your star and write it nice and big. This is where I invite you to take the markers and really write it big so you can read it. So identify one part of God's reign that you feel particularly called to, that you think God is saying, this is what I want you to do this year. And once you've identified it, write it down on your star. I'll give you a moment to do that now. Siblings, take these stars home with you today and put them somewhere where you will see them. Put them on your fridge, put them on the mirror in your bathroom, put them somewhere that you will look at them every day this year. God placed a star in the sky to guide the Magi. And by following it, they found Jesus. God places these things in our hearts, these callings. And when we follow them, we find Jesus in ourselves and in this world. And so, siblings, today you have listened to God. And what you wrote on your star, that is your purpose this year, is how God is guiding and calling you. So today and tomorrow and every day this year is your time to act on that God-given purpose. Do not dawdle and do not wait for the easiest path to present itself. Act on what God calls you to. Do not let a year go by without having done something to bring the reign of God into this world. And know that not a single one of us is acting alone. We are choosing these star words as individuals today. But each of these stars is one of many that fills the sky. And when each of us acts by following our purpose and by listening to God, we bring light to the whole world, just as Jesus calls us to. My siblings, when we walk in the shadow of danger and fear, like many of us find ourselves in this week, when there are so many people who would choose to react rashly rather than respond with thought and purpose, When there are people like Herod who just thrive on injustice and oppression, it's our responsibility as people of faith to respond with faith and with hope and with the light of Christ. So in the shadow of danger, God calls us to follow Jesus and to fill the sky with the light of God's stars. Amen.